to go over to Andy Crane in the Cat's Whiskers studio.
Good evening and welcome to the only way to spend the next half hour on a Sunday evening in the company, of course, of Cat's Whiskers. My favourite theme tune tonight, the guitar one, but we're playing it tonight for Chloe Hennigan, who lives in Middlesbrough, because she wrote to us asking for it. So, Chloe, that's especially for you. Robert Morrison has written to me from Norwich as well, and he says, I made a New Year's resolution to stop biting my nails, but I broke it the day after. Well, Robert, at least mine lasted a little longer than that. Tonight on the programme, I'm going to take a trip through a tropical rainforest, but I'm going to do it in central London. You can find out how later. And on the subject of jungles, Dr. Pete will be describing the various ways he has travelled through the jungles of Nepal, and Perwell and Dogsbody in a Where Is It Tonight, not a whodunit, called The Search for the Star of McTwinkle. But first on the subject of Perwell and Dogsbody, to the results of the Elephant Emerald Enigma. We wanted to know who stole the Elephant Emerald and how they were going to get it off the ship. Well, the answer was Dr. Niall Dundee. How do we know? Well, Captain Kipper said that Pollyanna the parrot only had to hear something once and she would repeat it constantly. Pollyanna never left Captain Kipper's office, so how then did she learn the expression jumping kangaroos unless Dr. Niall Dundee had been in there? Also, Dr. Niall said he had fractured his humerus, but his leg was bandaged. Now, you and I well know that the humerus is a bone in the arm, so he obviously wasn't a real doctor. And how was he going to get the Elephant Emerald off the ship? Well, what do you think was under the bandage on his leg? Well done if you got the answers right, but the first three out of the hat receiving detective kits are Ruth Cresswell from Sheffield, Tom Hill from Halifax, and Helen Marsland, who lives in Denton, to the three of you. Now, tonight's Where Is It? Not a whodunit. Perwell and Dogsbody in The Star of McTwinkle.
The name's Perwell. Kitty Perwell. Private eye, ace detective and super sleuth for the city of Spamchester. Scotland is a most fascinating place to visit. Chock-a-block with historic sites and bustling with breathtaking scenery. Just the mention of the names Rabbi Burns, Robert the Bruce or the Bay City Rollers is enough to send a shiver down the spine. And it was in Bonnie Scotland that Dogsbody and I found ourselves tiptoeing through the heather and roaming in the gloaming as we searched high and low for the elusive and fabulously valuable Star of McTwinkle. Here we are at last, old chap. The Castle McTwinkle.
Phew, thank goodness for that. You don't know what it's like trying to ride a tandem with the breeze blowing up your kilt.
Well, we're here now, and I can't wait to see my old mucker, Murray McTwinkle, the new Laird of Lonnie Donegan. I'll just ring the bell.
Kitty!
Murray!
Oh, good to see you, lassie. I was just having a quick burst on my bagpipes.
Murray McTwinkle, allow me to introduce my faithful friend and sturdy sidekick, Dick Dogsbody.
Ah, pleased to meet you, Mr. Dogsbody.
It's a proper pricked, moon-licked, nicked, the nick, doch I the loo, my wee body lifeed. I'll be practicing the lingo, you reckon?
Oh, hey. Oh, I see you're sporting a particularly splendid kilt there, Mr. Dogsbody.
Ah, do you like it?
Hey, most becoming. But I believe it's customary to wear the sporran on the outside, if I'm not very much mistaken.
Is it? Ah, I thought it was a bit itchy. Eh?
Well, what are we standing out here for in the cold? Come inside and warm yourselves up with a nice hot bowl of porridge.
Yeah. This porridge is smashing, Mr. McTwinkle.
You tuck in, Mr. Dogsbody. A strapping lad like yourself needs a hearty breakfast to keep up his strength.
So, Murray, how does it feel to be the new lord of the manor? or should I say, the Laird of Lonnie Donegan.
Oh, Kitty, if you only knew the half of it. My problems only just began when I inherited the Castle McTwinkle. You see, the McTwinkles were once one of the wealthiest families in the Highlands, but now, alas, the money's all spent, and I've got no option than to sell off the castle to pay my way.
Oh, Murray, I thought you had a mint.
Not anymore, lassie. I'm stony broke, and that's a fact. The only thing that could save my bacon is if I could locate the legendary Star of McTwinkle.
Somebody mentioned bacon.
What is the Star of McTwinkle, exactly?
Oh, well, ancient stories tell of a priceless silver star encrusted with precious rubies and diamonds. My old granddaddy's supposed to have hidden away somewhere in the castle. But I've searched and searched. Nothing. Not a sausage.
Sausage? Ah, yes, please.
It's hopeless. The star's lost forever, as sure as eggs is eggs.
Eggs?
Hold your horses, Murray. Mm. Don't be so hasty. You never know. With Dogsbody and me to help you, we may be able to find what you're looking for and save the castle.
But the castle's enormous, and old Granddaddy McTwinkle was a dreadful old daft. He did everything backwards. Slept all day, got up at night, wore all his clothes back to front, walked backwards, talked backwards. The crazy old crackpot could have hidden the star anywhere.
You know me, Murray. Never say die.
If you can find the Star of McTwinkle, Kitty, I'll break open a bottle of my best champagne and drink you a wee toast.
Toast? Yeah, I'll have the toast. Bacon, sausage, egg. Any chance of a bit of haggis on the side?
Now, Kitty, I brought you into the Grand Hall so you can meet the staff. But before they arrive, I'll just show you this portrait of my old granddaddy.
Oh, what a funny-looking black.
What's this written across the bottom of the picture, Murray?
Oh, that's the old family motto. Don't ask me what it means. Granddaddy made it up.
It may be important. Take this down, Dogsbody. Pencil, pad, get scribbling.
Righty, Akita. Far away.
There's just four words. But murder no rats.
But murder no rats.
What the heck does that mean?
Search me. There are no rats in this castle, never have been. All a load of codswallop. Here are the staff who are going to help us search for the star. This is Florchen, my cook.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Miss Purwell.
This is
Sowers knee high to your thistle, and I never heard of no treasure. All your blatherings for nought, lass. Sing our time here, and that's a fact.
Don't be like that, Mr. McCardon. Look at it. If we don't find the star and the castle is sold, you'll all be out of a job.
Oh, dear.
I've worked out a plan to search every inch of the castle. Murray, you hunt in the east tower.
Right.
Mrs. McKitchen, the west.
Aye.
Mr. McCarr, the stable and outbuildings.
Very good.
Mr. McCardon, the great hall and bedrooms. And Dogsman and I will take a squint at the old dungeons and cellars. We'll meet back here in precisely 1 hour. Any questions?
Oh, what time's lunch?
This place gives me the heebie-jeebies, kiddo.
Candle still, man. We seem to be in some kind of old wine cellar.
Look at all them barrels. Hundreds of them. Piled right up to the ceiling. And everyone's got a different drink in it. Look, whiskey, brandy, white rum, red rum, Ribena. Granddaddy McTwinkle liked his little tipple, didn't I?
Yes. Well, we've been looking for an hour now. I think it's time to go back and compare notes with the others. Come on, old fellow. This way.
As I said before, a ridiculous waste of time.
Oh, well, it was a brave try. All that remains now is to pack our bags and take the high road.
Not so fast, my friends. There's no need to put up the castle for sale sign quite yet.
What? Exactly.
I know exactly where the Star of McTwinkle is hidden.
Oh,
and if you'd care to step this way, I shall explain to you how I worked out its hiding place.
Kitty,
If I said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. You're brilliant, you are. Absolutely blaming McBrilliant.
So, where do you think old Granddaddy McTwinkle may have hidden the star? When you've sussed it out, jot your idea down in a letter and send it to us here at Cat's Whiskers. The address comes up at the end of the programme. Close your eyes for a moment. Where does this noise take you to? A jungle, perhaps? How about a tropical rainforest? An environment completely different to our own, and not one you would have thought you'd be able to experience in central London. Not until Living Earth and the Natural History Museum set up the Rainforest Tunnel, in which they have managed to create, with an amazing degree of success, the environment of a tropical rainforest. I went through it recently for Cat's Whiskers, but before you hear what it was like, I just wonder, what do you think a tropical rainforest is like?
Trees, birds, they're strange. The birds sound, waterfalls.
That's great, but we know what you think it might be like. Let's go and find out what it is like.
Welcome, boys and girls. In a few moments, we'll be embarking on a journey to one of the most beautiful and mysterious places on planet Earth, the tropical rainforest, where over half the 30 million or so species of plants and animals on this planet have their home. Where over half the world's rainfall is captured, is where my people have lived for thousands upon thousands of years. So now the time has come for us to depart.
This is the last call for passengers for the Rainforest Expedition flight.
Right, we'll soon be disembarking in the middle of the rainforest, so I'll leave you in the hands of your Indian guide.
Right, the sounds you hear at the moment are the kind of sounds you'd hear in an average rainforest. There's the tree frogs and occasional parrots and different types of monkeys. Example of a monkey you might see is that stand over there with the big orange wide eyes. That's called an owl monkey because it looks like an owl with the big eyes to help it see at night. There's lots of those around.
It's quite warm in here.
Yeah, this is the kind of temperature it would be. Which is why I walk around in a loincloth and don't wear much all the time. So I imagine you're quite hot and all your jumping.
It is a bit sweaty in here, yeah. And the smell.
Yeah,
it's very distinctive as well, isn't it?
Sort of earthy smell. That you hear at the moment, that sound there is a frog. It's one of the largest frogs.
Yeah.
They're about the size of a plate you would eat dinner off at home. That's quite big. We don't eat them really. The flesh isn't very nice to taste, but a boa constrictor, a big snake, it might make a nice meal for him. This is, it's a seed pod. I don't know if you can hear this. You can hear all the beans rattling around inside the seed pod.
It's like a giant runner bean, isn't it?
Giant, it's really big. Everything in the rainforest is quite big.
What would you say to people who are going in with bulldozers at the moment in the Amazon basin and things like that?
We tried to tell them not to cut down the trees because we all depend on it, on the rainforest, and if it just gets cut down, then we'll die sooner or later.
I feel like crawling under the bushes and going to sleep with the other insects.
It really was a fascinating experience, and if you'd like to experience it for yourself, then, fingers crossed, there should be another tropical rainforest tunnel springing up soon at Kew Gardens in London. Time for this week's birthday list now, and last Sunday, the 25th, Caroline Leach from Hestbank in Lancaster celebrated her birthday, and she tells us that she got a guitar as a present and requests, can you please put the word guitar in the Pulitzer? Well, that shouldn't be too much of a problem. G-U-I-T-A-R. Whiskers Club members celebrating a birthday this week are Bryony Martin, Elizabeth Jessop, Karen Loney, James Walkden, Toby Weller, Sophie Barr, Patrick Dean, David Axby, Wendy Rose, Thomas Restall and Robert Pierce. Toby Maxwell-Light, Catriona Walker, Josephine Davies, Robin Williams, Charlotte Walker, Nathan Bent and Thomas Golding. Happy birthday to Nicholas Teasdale, Christopher Wright, Hannah Pearson, Thomas Pye, Lizzie Newman, Anne Hughes, Kate Robertson, Alison Ogles, Jessica Field, Jill Greenfield, Andrew Connolly. Greetings too to Eleanor Southwood, Francis Mattingly, Jack Daly, Claire Metcalf, James Dennis, Ben Smith Haddon, Morag Brothwell, and George Leckie. Jonathan Whitehead, Anna Taylor, Timothy Davies, Sonia Davey, David Preston, Mary Beckett, Elizabeth Slade, Hannah Hawkins, Bianca Hutchins, Lisa Van Stone, Harry Wilkinson, Tristan Wiltshire, Michael Dodman, Daniel Leckie, Joe Gardner, Joanna Davies, David Brown, Victoria Moss, Marcus Critchlow, Rebecca Closier. And finally, Eleanor and Victoria Wiltshire, Hannah Smith, Wendy Monk, Javed Padamsey and Clive Whitcomb. Time now to find out who's won the Cat's Whiskers t-shirt, so let's push the Perlitzer once again. One, four, eight, six, oh, five. Whose membership number is that? I look up and down my lists, and the Perlitzer says David Preston, who celebrates his 10th birthday. Happy birthday to you, David. Cat's Whiskers t-shirt in the post to you. And you share your birthday with Ivan Lendl, the tennis player, and Rick Mayall, the comedy actor. Also celebrating this week are Prince Edward and a former birthday guest on Cat's Whiskers, Bill Beaumont. Now, you may remember last week, Dr. Pete coming face-to-face with a wild tiger. He was travelling through the jungle that day on an elephant. How else, though, do you think he travelled through the jungles of Nepal? Well, this week, we find out.
This is Dr. Pete speaking to you in Cat's Whiskers land from 33,000 feet above the Himalayas. And we're on our expedition to Nepal. This is absolutely wonderful. The captain has told me I'm trapped in the cockpit, so I must stay here, strapped in with him and the co-pilot while we land.
Hello, Pete. 30, 20, 10.
This is just the most wonderful moment. We've landed in Kathmandu. Just arrived in Nepal and it's as wonderful as ever, but we're going along in a rickshaw. Bouncing along here, our rickshaw driver is getting everybody out of the way with his horn, going through the Soho area of Kathmandu at the moment, bumping along. The streets are very bumpy, bicycles everywhere, shops selling all sorts of coloured clothes. Nearly hit a motorcycle there. Okay, this is where we're staying. This is Kathmandu Guest House?
Yes, Kathmandu Guest House.
15 rupees?
Yes, 15 rupees.
Thank you. There's only one way to travel around Kathmandu and the area. Forget your buses, your taxis. You can walk, but a great way to travel is to go by bicycle. Patan is a small, really poor town just outside Kathmandu. It's red brick, the houses are wood and mud, and it really looks like something from medieval Great Britain. You can probably hear here's a guy playing his flute. This is the time of the day, I'm not sure if I like it or not. It's sort of, 6-7 o'clock. You lose track of time here. On the Canali River, very early, very misty. We just about see the other bank. I haven't really washed my hair for a week. I try and take a swim every morning.
Oh, my goodness, isn't it?
When you get around your waist, it takes your breath away. Now that's the easy part. The really difficult part is going under, and it's best to get that over with straight away. This is it. We've now got about 5 minutes before death strikes.
as I lather my hair in the river here, it occurs to me in about the last week since I left my family in the UK, I've travelled a number of ways. Just splash a bit of water on, lather up. Well, I was on a train, got to the airport in London and took a plane, landed at Kathmandu, got on a bus, went round Kathmandu on a bicycle, got up one morning and had a rickshaw, and got on another bus. And then went to a river. When I got to the river, we pumped some rafts up and we rafted here into the jungle. I'm now going to have a little swim towards you. That's it for the morning. Takes your breath away. And when I get into the jungle, I'm going to ride on an elephant. And then I'm going to go home again.
The time has come, really, for our night bus back from Nepalgaon. So this is the end of our expedition. Kamal, I must say goodbye to you now. Okay, we go. I shall remember the Himalayas, the rafting on the rivers, being attacked by the tiger, but most of all, I shall remember my friends here in Nepal, and I hope to see you soon.
People in the villages were really happy that you came back, and I'm sure nobody in Nepal will forget you. And I'd like to also say goodbye to Cat's Whiskers.
Many thanks, as ever, to Dr. Pete for making those recordings for us, and I'm sure you are looking forward as much as I am to hearing his next expedition. And I'm sure you're also looking forward to hearing episode 4 of The Witch's Revenge.
Philip has flown to Beaver Island to escape Oyin the Witch, but she has followed him there. All the animals have taken shelter in Beaver Towers while they await Oyin's next attack. But first, there is the matter of school.
Quiet!
Sit the back there! Register!
This is Mr. Stripe, our teacher. Badgers are ever so clever.
The Squirrel Twins.
Yes.
Nick Hedgehog.
Here is the Stripe.
Good. Don't stretch like that, Nick Hedgehog.
Sorry, sir.
Baby Bee.
Yes, sir.
Our first lesson this morning.
Mr. Stripe.
What?
You haven't read out Flippip's name. He's my best friend.
Ah, most irregular. Very well. Flippip.
Here, and it's Philip, sir.
Yeah. First lesson, tracks. Page 53 in your blue book. Who knows number one? Huh? Harry Rabbit.
It's a fox, Mr. Stripe.
Well done. Number two, Philip.
Well, you see, I don't know anything about tracks.
Oh, doesn't know anything about... Answer the question, if you please.
It's true. Flippip does moths and grography.
I don't see what's so funny.
Seems an odd sort of school that doesn't do tracks. Well, we'll move on to smells. I'd get your mother to change your school if I was you, Philip. I was doing tracks when I was half your age.
Are you busy, Grandpa Edgar?
Come in. Just polishing up some of my spells. Might come in handy with Oyin on the prowl. Oh, not that I'm any match for her.
We've just been to school. Mr. Stripe shouted at Flippip.
My smells were worse than my tracks. I felt a real dunce.
I bet you read and write very well. Better than Mr. Stripe, even.
And Flippip is doing a mac.
He means a map of the island.
Ah.
I thought it would help us against Oyin.
A map? Yes, that's a splendid idea. You must start it at once.
The problem is... I've only seen one part of the island.
We want to fly over the island on the magic kite, Grandpa.
With Oyin on the loose. Oh, no.
It wouldn't take us long.
It's much too dangerous.
And we do need a Mac. You said so.
The birds said they'd warn us when Oyin is coming. A quick flight, Grandpa Edgar, please.
Please.
Then I'll start to draw everything we see. I'll hold on to the cross member, and you get on my shoulder, Baby Bee.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Now, hold on tight, and remember, a half hour. Any sign of danger, you head back here. Have you got it?
Got it. Ready, partner?
Chicks away!
Yeah.
We're highest
than anything.
Don't wriggle so much. There's the river and the rabbit's house. Must remember that.
Oh, and look at those waves. The sea's very long, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Hey, what's that? Coming up from the island over there. It's like a swarm of insects.
It's a lot of birds. They've come to play.
There are hundreds, and they're frightened. It's the alarm. Ryan's coming.
Oh, I'm scared, Flippit.
Just hold on. No knots around my head. I can't see anything.
Oh, what a din! Where are they going?
Going back down, where we should be. Kite, back to Beaver Towers, please. Kite, home, please. Seems to want to stay up here, Baby Bee.
Oh, no.
What is it?
There. A bird.
Look at the size of its wings. And that beak! Look out, it's diving on us! It's not a bird, it's Oyin!
Move, Kite, please!
Oh, it's no use! Oyin must have taken over the kite's magic! Here she comes again!
Yes, I'll be my ally! I shall finish you this time! Goodbye, Philip!
She's dragged off the kite's tail! Oh, please keep flying, Kite! Oh,
we're wobbling, Flippin! We're very wobbling! We're
falling! Oh. Hang on!
Ah!
A river! At least it was a soft landing! Stop splashing, you silly beaver! And let me hold on to this root for a minute. Shh! Oyin!
Where are you? I know you landed here. Come out, you awful boy. And bring that water rat with you.
Did you hear what she...
Shh! She's on that branch above us. The ferns must be hiding us. Down! Get down! We must get away from here, but how?
We'll swim under the water.
That's easy for you to say.
Hold on to my back legs. I'll tell you.
Just remember, I need more air than you.
Ready? Deep breath. Go.
I think that's far enough. Let's get onto the bank. Come on, we can't stay here.
I can still smell Oyin.
I can't smell anything. Of course, I'm a dunce, aren't I? We can't just wander around, Baby Bee.
I know a place we can hide. This way. Watch your head.
A hollow log? It's certainly well hidden. We'll wait till it's dark, then head back for Beaver Towers. It's going to be a long wait. Might as well try and get some sleep. Wake up, Baby Bee. Wake up.
What?
Shh. Oyin is back. When she moves away, we'll head for home.
Flippip, shouldn't it be dark by now?
It is dark.
Not at my end of the log, it isn't. And what's that smell?
Ah, the forest is on fire.
First the earth, then the air. This time, fire! Burn, trees, burn. This will destroy you, boy. Burn, bushes, burn!
She's starting fires everywhere. All around us, Baby Bee, look. We're trapped.
Oh no, how will Philip and Baby Beaver escape from the fire in the forest? Find out next week in episode 5. Also next week, we go behind the scenes at the Radio 1 Top 40, and there's another Stanley Bagshaw story. Stanley Bagshaw and the 14-foot wheel. Until then, have a good week and join me next Sunday evening. Bye-bye.
And the Cat's Whiskers address is Cat's Whiskers, P.O. Box 40, Manchester M60 1FR. In a moment, bookshelf. Then it's 2 minutes past 8. There's the last of the current series of Radio 4.